On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Well, Ava Pennington joins us. She's an author, speaker, Bible teacher, teaching leader for Bible Study Fellowship, BSF International. She has a master's from St. John's University and a certification in adult Bible studies from Moody Bible Institute. Ava, thanks so much for taking the time to visit with us today.
Well, thank you for hosting me. I appreciate that.
We're going to be talking about a book that you poured a lot of energy and work into, Flourish, and the subtitle, Grace-Centered Practices to Protect and Grow a Fruitful Life in Christ. So you have been working at your gardening skills spiritually, it sounds like. And like all of us, you know, you have your own personal faith journey. I wonder how much did that faith journey really, pour into the book? How much of that was your focus on the grace-centered practices we're going to be talking about?
Well, my motivation for studying the fruit of the Spirit and writing this book was that in my own life, I was frustrated by the fact that even though the Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit comes to us because of the indwelling Holy Spirit in every believer, why wasn't I experiencing as much joy or peace or grace or patience, kindness, self-control? Why wasn't I experiencing as much of those displays of the fruit as I wanted to or as I needed? And so that disconnect became an issue for me. And the more I talked to other people, the more I realized I was not alone, that we're promised this, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and yet there's a disconnect.
Yeah, you know, I see that in the book, you really emphasize protecting and growing the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, I mentioned gardening, and in gardening, obviously there's things you do to, you know, create a healthy garden and healthy growth. Can you share some of those key practices from Flourish that really helps the readers defend against those spiritual attacks that might have an impact on how we display the fruit of the Spirit?
Well, the more I explored the fruit of the Spirit and I looked at my own life and I had conversations with others, the more I realized that most of us approach the fruit of the Spirit by trying harder, working smarter with the goal of doing better. And then we all fail, or we don't experience the level of application that we want. And so I began to realize, much like a lot of things in the Christian walk, the key is not trying harder as much as it is surrender, as much as it is saying to the Holy Spirit, you are the one who produces this in me. I want to cooperate with your work. I want to work with you as you plant and nurture and cultivate your fruit in me. And surrender is not a word we like in the Western culture. It's just not a word we're comfortable with. We tend to associate surrender with defeat and weakness. And, you know, just as soon as we say the word surrender, we think of somebody, you know, waving a white flag and giving up. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, we are weak in so many different areas. And the Holy Spirit and the Lord is so much stronger than us and is the one who is going to bring out these qualities in us because these are his qualities. I mean, all of the fruit of the Spirit, all of these nine displays were displayed in the life of Jesus as he walked the earth.
Yeah, I love the focus on surrender. It brings to mind, you know, all of us. I know I was raised, you know, saying what many call the Lord's Prayer or the Disciples' Prayer. And, you know, you get to the part in the prayer where it's your will be done. And, you know, I memorized it as a kid, and it wasn't until I was a believer and an adult where I really looked at what we were saying in this prayer And when we say your will be done, it's what I think you're saying, Ava, is not me, you. And in doing so, we're going to see great things happen. I would also say, and I'll throw this back to you, you know, the way to get to a place where you are seeing that fruit of the Spirit that you mentioned, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we find in Galatians chapter 5, if we are spending time in the Word of God, that it's alive and active, and it's going to have an impact in us, and it's going to be Him that's being reflected to people in the way of the fruit that we display. Do you want to speak to that?
Oh, absolutely. I find that we as Christians often tend to one of two extremes. We either are going to put all our effort into growing this fruit ourselves. And, you know, we will enter a situation that requires patience and we'll fail. And so we beat ourselves up and we say, the next time I'm there, I'm going to be patient with that person. If it kills me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, right? And we go into the situation again and we fail again. But we're tied up in knots over trying so hard. But the other extreme that I found that Christians can gravitate to is that we're very passive. Well, if it's the fruit of the Spirit, He's going to do all the work. So I'm just going to sit back and let Him, you know, do His thing. And the answer, as so often is somewhere in the middle, in that we must surrender because it is His fruit. And yet, surrender is intentional. It takes intentional awareness on our part to walk into a situation and to say, oh, wait a minute. My natural urge is to tell this person off. But Lord, I'm going to be very intentional about surrendering to You and listening for and following the promptings of Your Holy Spirit in my life. So it's not, surrender is not passive. It's very active and it's very intentional.
So before we go to a break, I want to bring up what you have in your subtitle. The word grace and what role that it plays in cultivating that fruitfulness, fruitful life, you know, define and maybe take time to define the fruitful life in Christ.
Well, we often associate grace with salvation. And of course we should, because what does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say, right? By grace we've been saved. But too often, we leave grace behind as we walk the Christian life. And we think, okay, God's grace saved me, but now somehow I've got to prove to God that He made the right choice in saving me. And grace, when we talk about grace-filled practices in growing the fruit of the Spirit, we have to remember that God is going to not only grow this fruit, but He's extending His grace to us all the time. And so we are going to fall and we are going to fail. But that doesn't mean God is waiting, standing over us with this rolled up newspaper ready to, you know, smack us on the nose because we blew it. You know, we messed up. This is a life of grace. And so the Holy Spirit convicts, yes, but He also comforts and encourages and equips. And again, sometimes, well, often we tend to go to one extreme or the other, that God either does not convict or He's all about conviction and not about grace. And it's both.
Yeah. Amen. And you know what? I'm really thankful you brought up Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It actually very applicable to what you've already shared about surrender. In reading all of that, and you already went through some of it, but for by grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not me, thee, not me, Lord, it's You. I think you really already did a great job of touching on that. and great application with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And speaking of application, before we go to the break, let's touch on this. At the end of each chapter in the book, and if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Ava Pennington. She's the author of Flourish, Grace-Centered Practices to Protect and Grow a Fruitful Life in Christ. Ava, at the end of each chapter, whether you're going through this with a group or by yourself, like any good teacher, you've put a place there for application for each chapter. Do you want to touch on that?
Thank you. Yes, the questions are there to help us personalize what we're reading and personalize what we're applying and looking at what this looks like in our own life. But the questions are also there if you want to do this in community with a small group or with maybe one or two friends. Because I found when I was exploring this topic, I wasn't the only one who was struggling with some of these issues. And the more I talked to others, the more I realized I wasn't alone. And I think as we go through these issues, we discover that, wow, others are struggling with these same issues and they're struggling with these same questions. And so it's a reminder that there's no lone rangers in the church, right? We're meant and we were created for community with God, with the Holy Spirit, and also not just with the Trinity, but with each other. And so as we go through the book and the way the chapters are structured, each chapter is structured in four sections. There's so many great books on the Holy Spirit, on the fruit of the Spirit, and I love them. But what I didn't find is help with identifying the disconnects. And so each chapter focuses on one display of the fruit of the Spirit, and each chapter is divided into four sections. And the first section looks at where we're vulnerable to the enemy's distractions and temptations. Where are we vulnerable to those disconnects for that particular display of the fruit? And then secondly, well, now that we know how the enemy works and where our vulnerabilities are, what does the Lord say about that fruit? Because I found, and I don't know about you, but I found in my own life that often the disconnect occurs because I think I have one perspective on the topic. And then I read scripture, as you said, the importance of God's word, and I find, well, no, God is looking at this a little differently. And so I need to line up with what the Lord is saying on that topic, and in this case, on that particular display of the fruit. And then once I understand how the enemy works and where I'm susceptible and where I'm vulnerable, then now that I know what God says about that particular fruit, which doesn't always line up with what I say, and of course, I need to line up my perspective with his. The third section looks at, okay, now how do I recover and grow? How do I cooperate with the Holy Spirit in growing that particular fruit? And then finally, the fourth section of each chapter looks at how do I share the fruit? Because the fruit of the Spirit was never meant for us to hoard. It was meant for us to share. And so every display of the fruit is looked at from those four perspectives in each chapter.
Oh, so good. Well, listen, Ava, we're up against the break. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, visiting with Ava Pennington, author of Flourish. We'll be back right after this on ABQ Connect. Hey, we're in the midst of a conversation with Ava Pennington. She's the author of Flourish, Grace-Centered Practices to Protect and Grow a Fruitful Life in Christ. If you missed the first segment, make sure to find it on the archives at abqconnect.online shortly after it's aired. But listen, Ava, again, thanks for the time. You talk about cultivating the fruit of the Spirit and really helping to make it where it's protected from the enemy. You talk about recognizing and actually recovering from what the thief has stolen. Can you elaborate on how readers can identify these losses and apply biblical principles really to reclaim them?
Well, I think for the most part, the enemy can't actually steal what the Holy Spirit has promised to give us, in that the enemy obviously doesn't have power greater than God.
Amen.
However, he can distract, he can tempt, and all too often, we cooperate with him. We cooperate more with him than with the Holy Spirit sometimes because we just give in to those distractions and those temptations. And we help him, which is so frustrating when I think about, again, the fact that I have not always been intentional about my surrender to the Holy Spirit, but I've been very casual about just going along with the distractions and the temptations that the enemy might allow or put in my life. But you asked, how can we identify when that's happening? How do we know? And I would say that the fruit of the Spirit, a fruitful life in Christ, is when we resemble Christ to a greater and greater degree, when we're growing in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and in self-control, because these are all characteristics that Christ exhibited. And so when we are not resembling our Savior, when we are not being transformed and conformed to the image of Christ in our life, that's a sign that we're not doing as good a job of surrendering to the Holy Spirit as we are with giving in to whatever tickles our ear and meets our just our natural desires.
So, whether Christian or not, any author is going to have challenges when you go to write a book. I mean, it's a lot of work. I've never done it, but I have friends who have, and it's, I just know. I know it's a lot of energy and work you put into it. Spiritually, maybe, and other practical ways, or other just ways. What kind of challenges did you face as you're putting this together and with, with those spiritual attacks in mind, and I'm going to guess that they came, what kind of things did you do to keep yourself on track for what you were trying to convey to the readers?
Well, one thing I've learned as in being a Bible teacher and in writing is that the Lord is very clear about me learning these lessons before I'm given the opportunity to teach or write about them. And so as I was writing the book, I was convicted quite a bit because I thought I had made great strides in some of these areas. And in writing, I realized that I needed to be applying more of this in my own life. I can think of one example. Over a period of about a year and a half, I had some health issues and I ended up undergoing six surgeries in 11 months. And
Wow.
so it was not one of my better seasons. But just as I was recovering from one surgery, I needed another. And then I would spend a couple of months recovering from that. And then I would go into another. So at one point, a friend said to me, how's the recovery going? How are you doing after one of the surgeries? And I said, well, it's actually going well, but I'm so impatient because I just really want this to move faster than it's moving. And I must have said that, in fact, I know I said that to a few different people when they would ask about recovery from surgery and going through physical therapy. Because in one of my quiet times with the Lord, one morning, I'm sitting there with just spending time with him. And the Holy, I don't, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you when it's something, when you have a thought and this is not what I would be telling myself. This is not something that would originate with me. But I just sense the Holy Spirit saying, you're impatient with the process, huh? You're impatient with the doctors and the physical therapists. Didn't you just write a chapter on patience? And maybe you need to go back and reread that again. And I thought, Okay, Lord. Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. I need to be applying this.
I love how you got to that part with the conversation. You know, maybe you need to read it again. I think that's normal. I think that's not surprising. I think that not to be insulting to all of us as part of the body of Christ, but we're all kind of dumb sheep at some time. And Paul, I think through the Lord knew that. The scripture that always comes to mind for me there is he's in, I'm going to miss the address, but essentially he says, if we are an angel from heaven delivered to you a gospel contrary to which we already delivered, may he be eternally accursed. As I said before, so also I say again, if we are an angel from heaven delivered, and he repeats exactly what he just said, we need to hear and know these things by repetition, and practice makes permanent. So if you and I already talked about spending time in the Word of God, and if we're doing that, it's going to create some muscle memory where we're exhibiting more of him and less of us because it's his word that we're in. And I don't want to expound on that much more than that, but I love that you said, yeah, they said, you probably need to go back. I know you read it before. But now listen, you had these challenges in writing the book, and I'll leave you with this. What do you hope that the readers will get as they go through Flourish? And not only that, but as we put a bow on our conversation, I want to give you opportunity to let the readers know about the Reflections projects quickly that you did. But if you could let us know what you hope the readers get, and then just a quick note on Reflections.
Well, I hope readers will reach the same conclusion I did, and that is that surrendering to the Holy Spirit, surrendering to God's work in our life is a process. It's not going to happen overnight in every area. We're going to take two steps forward and one step back often. But as I said, God isn't standing over us with a rolled up newspaper ready to whack us on the nose when we fail. He's there to pick us up and to brush us off and to give us the strength to continue. One of my favorite verses related to this whole subject is Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 6:10. It says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And that goes back to the fact that yes, we're intentional about surrender, but it's not in our strength. He's the one who gives us the strength to do this. And the more we surrender, the more we're accessing his strength to persevere in the growth of this fruit. So I think it comes back to the subtitle of the book, which is These Are Grace-Centered Practices. I mean, isn't that true in every area of the Christian walk? It's not just the fruit of the Spirit, but in every area, it's a grace-centered life that requires intentionality on our part to surrender. It's not totally passive, but it's not totally in our own strength either.
Amen. And then a couple of the other projects that you've worked on in the past that our listeners after picking up Flourish, going through it, they go, "Man, I want to find more from Ava." Well, it's out there, the Reflections projects that you worked on.
Well, one of the books that I wrote actually is a devotional on the names and attributes of God. And it started out as a 1 year devotional, and then it was reissued or re-released as a gift book. And I think both of those are still available on sites like Amazon. But Reflections on the Names of God is a devotional that looks at various names and attributes of God from three perspectives. So I would take one attribute or name, and there would be three different devotions associated with that name. And then we would move on to a new name or attribute and have three more devotions on that particular name or attribute. And the three perspectives for each name or attribute were were labeled looking up. So the first devotion looked at what God said about himself. And that was the focus of that particular day's reading. And then the second devotion on that same topic was looked at from the perspective of, it was labeled looking in, and the perspective was, well, if this is who God is, this is who what he says about himself, then how does that change who I am because I belong to him? And then the third perspective was labeled looking out, and the perspective there was, well, if that's who God says he is, and this is who I am because I belong to him, this is how I'm changed, then how does it change my relationships? How does knowing that God is this way, how does that change the way I relate to others? So for example, I think the first devotional set in the book is Trinity, looking at God. One of his attributes, characteristics, is that he's Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we would look at, okay, what does God say about himself? And then secondly, how am I changed because I belong to a Trinitarian God? And then lastly, how does that affect my relationships if relationship, the concept, the very concept of relationship began with the relationships in the Trinity?
All right. Well, listen, we're out of time, Ava, but I do want to thank you for taking the time. If you just tuned in, we've been visiting with Ava Pennington, author of Flourish, God-Centered Practices to Protect and Grow a Fruitful Life in Christ. Ava, thanks again for your time, and don't be a stranger. We'd be happy to have you back on.
Well, thank you so much. It was a delight just having a conversation with you.
All right, and thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.